I think there's a lot of discussion and talk about tomorrow, a big day in history, American history, world history, about the eclipse. So we'll spend a little time discussing the eclipse as well. I don't want to be left out of what everyone else is doing. The truth is, if you want to discuss the eclipse, we really should have a separate share in it and devote the proper time to it. But there is a famous Gemara that everyone throws around that, you know, if you Google search Gemaras, you'll see the most looked at Gemara over the next, I don't know, 24 hours is a Gemara in Sukkah of Tesam and Alf. That's like the Gemara that discusses eclipse. So the Gemara Chavtes Amin Aleph in the end of the second parak of Sukkah discusses eclipse. It granted discusses both lunar eclipse and solar eclipses, but no one wants to hear about lunar eclipses today. We want to hear about the solar eclipse. So the Gemara reads like this. Again, I'm not going into all the details of the Gemara. I'm just giving over the words of the Gemara. The Gemara reads like this. Tan Rabbanan, Bizman Shehacham Aloike, when we have what's known as a solar eclipse, according to most Mepharshim, that's what it means, Shehacham Aloike, the sun takes a hit, so to say. Says the Gemara, Simira lo ivdi kechavim. It's a bad sign for the goyim. Okay, bad sign for the goyim. We're okay with that. Says the Gemara, Levana. However, if it would be a solar eclipse, a lunar eclipse, Akti Gemara, Simira lo sarnaim sha Yisrael. Then that's bad for the enemies of the Jewish people, which the Gemara means us. We don't want to say the Jews, so we say, we like a Beremiza, that's bad for us. Why, says the Gemara? Nesh Yisrael, Mayim lo levana vaydi chom lachama. Because we as Jews work with the moon, so the moon is our guy. So if our guy takes a hit, we feel it. The sun is the guy, so if the sun takes a hit, that's their problem. So writes the Gemara. Then the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, depending on which part of the world gets the eclipse, loike b'mizrach, semen rali yesh mizrach, if the eclipse is in that part of the world, so then that part of the world gets the effect, and the Gemara goes on to say like that. So if you stopped here, so it's sounding like for the Gemara, okay, so it's a bad thing for the guy, but it doesn't really affect us all that much, and we don't really have to be too worried about it, although it is historical that it's going to be a full eclipse. Again, not in New York. In New York, we're not going to get to see the full eclipse. We'll see a big chunk of the sun will be blocked, but if you want to get the full eclipse, you really have to go to Missouri. So get going now and try to head to Missouri so you can catch a full eclipse where the entire sun will be blocked completely by the moon. But here in New York, we're not going to see a full eclipse. I told people, why everyone's worrying about the glasses, how to do it. I said, wait an hour, we'll be on YouTube, and watch it from your office. Save yourself time, money, and effort. You don't have to worry about glasses. The studies have been done that there's going to be a lot of money lost tomorrow, because a lot of people are not going to be working. People have said already they're taking off work. Millions of people are taking off to watch this. In New York, it's a partial eclipse. Again, you want to travel to Missouri, you'll see a full eclipse. But you know, a lot of people are devoting their day tomorrow to spending time. I don't understand it. I'd wait a little bit and then watch it from the comfort of my home. But in any case, that's what the Gemara says. But there's one more Gemara that I want to bring out. The Gemara that says, Tan Rabbanu, Bishvil Arba Dvarim Chama Loike. There are four things that bring on a solar eclipse. Says Gemara, what are the four things? Allah bezdin shemeis ve'ene nifsad kalocha. If you have an av bezdin that dies and he's not properly eulogized, val naira hamurasa shatzaka be'ir. If you have a girl that gets raped in the city, be'ir in the city, ve'ein meshialoi, no one comes to defend her. Val mishkav zacher, homosexuality. Val shnei achim shenishbach domam ke'echot. Two brothers who die together. Very interesting Gemara. The first kash on this Gemara that many of the Mepharshim asked, they say, I don't understand the Gemara. The Gemara says, if you look and speak to any scientist or anyone who knows how these things work, these eclipses are predated. We know exactly when they're going to happen, we know where they're going to happen, and we know when, how it's going to happen. So when you tell me because of these averus, it's predated. Bishlama, something like an earthquake, we don't know when an earthquake hits. You could say, the earthquake came because you did something wrong, or a tornado. We don't know when it's going to happen. So we'll say it's because X and Y are there. But here, we all know when it's going to happen. It's not a secret. They knew this one was going to happen. They know the next one's going to be in 2024. This is all scientific. So how could you tell me that Aveira's bringing up? This is a shtaka kasha. Many achrayim are very troubled. Because of this kasha, if you understand Aipshitz and Yavis Devash learns the Gemara completely different. He learns Chama Loiki doesn't mean a solar eclipse. It means these other types of things that affect the sun. But a real eclipse is not based on any of these Aveira's. Solar eclipses are predated. Because Baruch Hu put into the Bria that way, that it's going to happen. It's not shot in this Gemara. That's the way he learns. Other Achrayim have other ways around this Gemara. They talk about the Pshatim. The Ben Yehuda has a Pshat in Sukkah Chavtes, where he says, Enachanami, they're predated, but there's a certain mazel. And these are bad times in the world. It's bad mazel during this time. Therefore, it's usually because of these Averis that bring out the bad mazel. Again, I think this Gemara needs a little bit more discussion, but if you want to, you have to ask yourself, what's the common denominator between these four things? They seem to be so not relevant to each other. That's the first thing is not being maspid and avbezdin. Then we jump to a Naira Murasa who gets violated and no one helps her. Right? The Medayik from the Gemara says, Be'ir. She wasn't violated in the Sadeh when no one was there. She was in the city. Everyone heard. Everyone saw. Mamas, last night, I was woken up at 5 to 5 in the morning. I heard screaming in front of my house. Screaming. So Mari says, why'd you get up? He said, how can you sleep when you hear someone screaming outside? I looked outside the window. It was a non-Jewish husband and wife, I don't know, girlfriend, boyfriend, screaming and yelling at each other. You think, you know, the world was coming to an end. I have no idea what was going on, but it sounds like someone's Taka being raped. That's the way it sounds like. That's my Shia B'ir. That's being screamed about in the city. If something happens in the forest, okay, we don't know. So what's the connection between the screaming, homosexuality? There seems to be a very hard tzad hashava between all four of these things.
And why is there a bad sign for the Goyim? These are all things that happen.
Well, some of these things the Goyim are also obligated on, possibly. But I would suggest, and again, without getting into all the hashkafa behind it, there is a tzad hashava between all these four different types of behavior. A lot of it has to do with a break in morality. It's just a breakdown in the system of normalcy that we used to have in the world that we don't have today. Right? Being mastered kalach, the reason why people are not necessarily mastered people kalach is because they don't have a sensitivity to who the great person was. Old news, let's move on to the next person. They don't stop and realize what does it mean to be a great leader, an avbezdin, a mayra hara, great leaders. They were old anyways, they were outdated, they didn't understand our generation. So we don't have a sensitivity to what does it mean to lose someone of that status. Naira murasa, we don't care anymore. It's not my problem. It's her problem, it's her family's problem, or maybe it was her fault. She acted the guy on. It's just a breakdown in basic morality that we have that we allow these things in. So it could be that one. I still have trouble with that one. I still can't work out yet. I don't know. I don't have a good mahalach on the last one. But just again, if we're going to look at this as an American event, which it is, it's an eclipse for America. Many of these traits are definitely a problem in our country, and more recently, the Mishkav Zachar issue over various political issues and debates. You see it b'chosh that this breakdown in immorality. And the causing of our desensitizing of values that we used to hold so dear and wasn't even debatable is definitely a breakdown in this country, and there is a connection between this Gemara. Now again, according to the way the Gemara reads, at least in one gear, so it doesn't really affect us. This whole eclipse is a Goyish experience. For us Jews, it doesn't affect us, but the assumption is that there's still some connection to the eclipse to us. There's an interesting shayla in the Paiskim. Why is there no bracha on the eclipse? We make a bracha on the earthquake. Why is there no bracha on the eclipse? So I think the way they say it over in the name of Chaim Kanevsky, he said because of this Gemara. Since the Gemara says that an eclipse is not a positive experience, it means that someone's doing something wrong, it's some form of a piranius, on that type of thing you don't want to make a bracha. That's the way they say it over. That's the kasha. They have a kasha, why do you make a bracha on a rainbow? So the way they say it over is because the rainbow at least has a positive element. It means that Kosh Baruch Hu wanted to, but Lamaisi, he's showing us that he still loves us, that he's not going to destroy the world. So there's at least a positive element behind the rainbow. They talk about an interesting shayla halacha that there's a shitas Rashi. We don't pass them like that. The Rashi holds that Laila is not defined by night. Laila is the lack of light. So when we talk about mechayiv and tzitzis, Belaila, it doesn't mean if it's actually nighttime on the calendar, it means if it's dark. So Rashi had a shtickle Torah that if you have an artificial light, it would be considered yoim. So someone asked Chaim Kanevsky to flip. So when the sun is being blocked, do we make the argument that that's considered now Laila? For the 2 minutes where it's completely blocked, does it become Laila?
2 o'clock in the afternoon.
In 2 o'clock in the afternoon, right? So Chaim Kanevsky said, that doesn't work like that. He said, about it's day, it's for 2 seconds, whatever it is, 2 minutes, it's going to be blocked, it doesn't work. They ask another shayla. And the last time there was a shtickle eclipse was on a Shabbos, in 1970, I think it was. I was a small child then. No, I wasn't even born then. But in 1970, when they talk about this eclipse, they talk about the shayla about Amir Lenochri. They bring down that at those years, the kids were very scared from eclipses. Today, the kids know more about it than we do. So the kids were nervous. So the shayla was, are you allowed to ask a guy to turn on a light in the house? Because of the chayla, the fear of the child, of the Amir Lenachri, would it be mutter to ask a guy because the kid is afraid of the eclipse? Okay, I think today it's not such a shayla. I think today, first of all, it falls on a Monday. But I think it's not such a shayla because I think today the kids understand what an eclipse is. They're not nervous about it. They think it's cool. And the Mela, it's not such a shayla. But those are some of the halachic shaylas that work their way into the issue with the eclipse. Again, they say that the last big one was in Europe was in 1918. And the Chavetz Chaim made a big deal about it. Made it, everyone should go see it and partake in it. And again, it's not a long experience, but this is what the Gemara says about eclipse. What exactly this means for the world.
Archlan
Air has a lot.
Yeah,
that's the kasha. The big kasha is that if it's natural, what's this whole Gemara over here? So you look at Archlan Air, and Yaakov has a pshat, and Yaakov Zavash has Arichas. But it's just worth mentioning, if you want to read the Gemara and come up with your own interpretation of what's the connection between these four statements the Gemara makes, I think there's a strong similarity between American society, for sure, possibly even the Jewish society, but definitely in the American society, we see that many of these things mentioned by the Gemara, we have become desensitized to.
You could put the brothers in, like, what happened, like, in Chalamish, like, a whole family.
Could be, you know.
Grandfather.
Those types of...
Nobody cares.
And right. Right. We don't look at it as such a casualty. It's just two people. We don't look at it as a family. Very possible. Last Shabbos was Shabbos Mevorachim Chodesh Elul. If you look in Svarim, from not so long ago, from Gedolim, from 100 years ago, 80 years ago, they say over stories that when they used to bench Mevorachim Chodesh Elul, they used to mamish tzitter, they would tremble, they'd be crying, they'd be scared. I think most of us don't think too much about it when we're Mevorachim Chodesh Elul. However, we get there on Yom Kippur, that would be good for us. But it's something to mention. There's something to mention the fact that this eclipse, the fact that the eclipse is right before Rosh Chodesh is not a riot. It always is going to be. Every time you're going to have a solar eclipse, it's only going to be around Rosh Chodesh time because it has to do with the Moilet. So that's not a riot. The fact that it's before Chodesh Elul is what to talk about. The fact that it's before Rosh Chodesh is part of the science behind it. But the fact that it is before Chodesh Elul, and it's, you know, it's you may have did, I think that is something, and you can add to all the craziness that is going on in America today. And this eclipse is mainly going through America. And there is a lot of craziness going on in the country today. If you're putting aside Judaism for a second, just as an American citizen, there's an uproar and there's a lot of fighting and there's... a lot of mess, a big mess to say, in America. And I think there is a connection to the fact that the eclipse is happening at this time. But in the Parashas Re'eh, I think the theme of Parashas Re'eh is the idea of tests. Trials and tests. The whole underlining theme throughout Parashas Re'eh is the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu is testing us and He continues to test us. Life is one big test and it comes in various forms. But the idea that we're constantly being tested. Beginning of the parasha, the Torah tells us, "Hey, Baruchu Klal, I'm giving you two paths in life to choose: the good one or the bad one." Right away, that's a test. And you have two options. You say, "Oh, what type of test is it? Who wants to go for Klal? It's not a good option. You want to go Baruchu? Yeah, you're right, but we don't always go down that path as much as we'd like to go. But it's ultimately it's a test because Baruchu is giving you two paths. He's not saying it's only one way. There's two ways of living life. One way will give you Baruchu, and one will not give you Baruchu. It's really a form of a test." And the Torah tells us in the beginning that when we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, the first thing we have to do is we have to destroy all the Avodah Zarahs, we have to get rid of everything. So the obvious question is, why do you have to get rid of it? Why do I care? Let the church stay up. It doesn't bother me. I'll build a shul down two blocks down, we'll be double the size, we'll have a big hall, we'll have a nicer building. Let the church stay up. If I can, let it stay as a remembrance that the Goyim used to live here. Why do I need to destroy such a violent act? Destruction and burning and breaking. Well, what do we need? So the simple answer is because Baruch Hu is a lot smarter than we are. Hashem Baruch Hu knows if we see it, we're going to be tempted to go to it. Even if it's there. You'll say, come on, really, I'm going to go to the church, I have this beautiful shul here, I have a shuras hashchina, I have a beis hamikdash, I'm going to be tempted to want to go into one of these beis avodah zarah. The answer is that Hashem Baruch Hu is telling us, yes, you will. I know man, I made man, I understand how you guys work, and I'm telling you, the only way to ensure you will not get caught up is if it's not there. If it's in front of you, you will go back to it. So Torah is telling us, not only is it enough for us to say, well, I don't, what do I have to do with avodah zarah? We got to get rid of it, eradicate it, remove it. And then the Torah says, but loisasu kein Hashem alekechem. Don't do this to Hashem. So we spoke about in Halacha a few weeks ago, that this pasuk is passed the prohibition of destroying Hashem Hashem. This is mechik Hashem Hashem. This is the whole idea of Shemus. I saw an unbelievable pshat from Moshe Sternbach in the Sefer. He says, you know what the Torah is telling us? What happens, can you imagine, you come and you just destroyed all the churches and all the mosques or whatever, and now you say to yourself, okay, what's next? Conservative shuls. Right, once we took care of all the anti-Jewish people, we'll move on to the anti-Frum. We'll get the conservative shuls, we'll burn them down, we'll burn down the reform shuls. They were building the shul down the block that I don't agree with their hashkafa. It's a great, you get caught up in destruction and what's right and moral, and you end up burning down your neighbor's house because you don't agree with him hashkafically. Says the Torah, that's not the way you work with me. Hashem says, you don't agree with them hashkafically, okay? They might be wrong, possibly. Unless they're in Irani Dachas that the Torah describes later, you don't burn it down. That's not the way you do things. That's not the way we treat Jews. You don't agree with them ideology. You think they're wrong. You think they don't know halacha. Okay. Don't burn down their shul. Don't throw rocks at their shul. Don't do anything like that. That's not the way we deal with things. Which today, not we'll leave off Jewish events, but in the world today. That was the whole, that's the big tumult today. If you don't like a statue, so you bring it down. You rip it down. You burn it down. You throw it. You do what you want. Because Baruch says, that's not the way I want you to treat my mekaymus. Even if you don't agree with their ideology, maybe they might even be wrong. Again, reform shul, no one's saying reform shul is the right thing to do. But don't go around burning it. Don't throw rocks at it. Don't bring things down. That's not the way we do things. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu say that that's not the way to treat things that are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. And again, I think it might be a lesson for all of life. You don't agree with something, that's fine. It doesn't give you right to burn it and to smash it. The reason why we're allowed to burn these down is because Hashem gave us a specific commandment. Break it and destroy it and rid it of the world. Without that, we don't have a right to go around just destroying things because they don't sit with us ideologically, it doesn't give us a right to go around burning things. And this is true of halacha as well. You don't agree with something your neighbor does, you can't torch his house. And that's what the Torah is telling us over here. And throughout the Pesukim, the Torah goes over and over again this idea of testing. And we find it by a Navi Sheker. Hashem says, I'm going to give you a Navi Sheker. You know why? To test you how loyal and devoted you are to me. That's why Kosh Baruch Hu gives us a Navi Sheker. And we've had this throughout history. Someone always comes along, usually when things are very bad for the Jewish people, and he says, I'm a Navi, I'm the Savior, I'm going to do everything, but in order for all this to work, you have to sway from the path of Hashem. Says the Torah, I'm doing this to test you. The Chavetz Chaim says that although today, we don't have so many Nevi'im Shkarim today, we don't have it so popular, he says, but when things happen in the world, and we just can't understand why Hashem did it, when there's a casualty to the Jewish people, whether it be individually or in a community type of event, and you say yourself, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? Says the Chavetz Chaim, that's begeder, a Navi Sheker. It's the same type of a test. You say to yourself, God, what's going on over here? So instead of saying, okay, I'm going to follow this guy and do whatever I deserve, you doubt HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence or his power in the world. That's an offshoot, says the Chavetz Chaim, of this pasuk of Navi Sheker. So when things happen in the world and we say, how can it be? Well, where's Hashem? How did he let this happen? And which we all do, it's part of Teva Adam. Says the Chavetz Chaim, it's part of this pasuk. But what I find most interesting is at the end of the pasuk, it says, don't do that, keep the mitzvahs, and be connected to Hashem. U'boisit b'kun. So we mentioned last week, u'boisit b'kun comes in a couple different versions, but Rashi here says, what does it mean, connect to Hashem? It means mimic the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is mevakeh cholim, you be mevakeh cholim. Hashem comforts the aveilim, you do that. Why would that be the most important thing to do if you want to combat this type of Navi Sheker? I understand it's an important thing to do, but why over here? If you say like the Chavetz Chaim, it makes a lot of sense. Because what's the first thing happens when something happens that we don't understand? Right away we doubt HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could it be? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so mean. He's not here. Right? My kids at home, every single time they don't get their way, right away, you're so mean. That's the first thing they say. You're so mean. Right? Because that's the way we think. If we don't get the way things make sense to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mean. So if we follow the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we show, look how compassionate HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and we're trying to mimic His ways. So we become more compassionate by understanding His compassion. So we say to ourselves, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mean. Why he did it? I don't know why he did it. But it's not because he's mean. So through Dveikas Ba'Hashem, through following the ways of Hashem, we'll then understand Hashem in a more compassionate way. It will be a little easier for us to understand these tsaros that happen to us as individuals, to us as communities, to us as Am Yisrael. It's a little bit easier to understand it. And that's why the Torah over here specifically gives the mitzvah u'boisit b'kun. Over here, you got to become Dovik Ba'Hashem through following the ways of Hashem, because that's the only way you'll understand a little glimpse into the way Hashem works. And through that glimpse of understanding the way Hashem works, then you'll understand a little bit of Hashem's master plan. At the end of the parasha, it's kedai to talk about. The Torah talks about the mitzvah of tzedakah and meiser. The pasuk tells aser to aser, so the Gemara makes the drasha aser b'shvil shetis asher. If the person takes off meiser, it's a avtocha that he's going to become rich. It's a machloikish b'shoyim, just to be fair and honest, whether it's talking about meiser k'safim or it's talking about meiser behema. This three-way machlekes lahalacha is ma'isik sofim deraisa derabban. It's only a minug, but the pasuk is telling us asa b'shvil shetis asher. That's an asayin. Taking off ma'isa is an asayin. Later on, the Torah talks about giving staka. That's an asayin. Person has money. It's not easy to give it away. Then the Torah talks about shmita. It's not easy shmita. What does shmita mean? At the end of 7 years, you sold the field, you bought a field. At the end of it, you lose the field. That's not. These are not simple things to swallow. These are major nisyanis. These are big tests in life. To be able to, after 7 years of working the land or working a field, just giving it back to someone else. It's not an easy thing to do. And that's really the whole idea of this parasha, is where the Torah is giving us this idea of nisyanis. Nisyanis about mominis, nisyanis about sharing our mominis, nisyanis about giving back our land. These are all major, major tests. So the Chavetz Chaim once said, you know, many people are easy to judge other people. They see a guy who's wealthy and they say, you know what? He doesn't give enough tzedakah. If I would be in his shoes, I would give more tzedakah than he gives. So Chavetz Chaim says it's not true. You'd be in his shoes, you'd have the same nisyan as him, you'd also have problems. He says over a mashal about a fellow who watches a friend of his get very drunk. And the guy is really, really drunk. And he's making a fool of himself in the street. And he goes over to his friend, he says, you know, listen, you want to drink, that's one thing. But if I was you, I would drink, but I wouldn't make such a fool out of myself. Says the Chavetz Chaim, big talker. If you drink like he did and you're non-stop drinking, you're also going to get very drunk. Then you're also going to make a fool out of yourself. You're just not in his shoes, so it's easy to say. Says the Chavetz Chaim, it's a big nesayin to have money. Because it's not easy to properly give it away when you need to give it away. It's a big nesayin. And that's really the whole theme at the end of the parsha. The whole theme of tzedakah and shemitah. And we know from Churban Bayis Rishon that one of the big, big problems that Klai Yisrael had during Churban Bayis Rishon was they couldn't deal with shemitah. It's in the first of the Navi. You read Yirmiyahu HaNavi, you see this. That Klai Yisrael couldn't deal with the idea that they had this free davodim. They have to give back the land. This was very difficult for Klal Yisrael. And it makes sense to be difficult. Something that's mine. I worked on it. I spent time on it. It's mine. I got to give it back to someone else. It's a very difficult thing. And these are all the nisyonis that Klal Yisrael is being addressed in this week's parasha. The nisyonis of having wealth and what to do with it, sharing your wealth, giving back your land. These are the nisyonis that Klal Yisrael is presented with at the end of the parasha. In the middle of the parasha, it's kedai to mention this, that the Chafetz Chaim was once asked, it says in the pasuk that we learn from over here that Lysasu agudis agudis. You're not allowed to have different groups doing different things. So someone asked the Chafetz Chaim a very fair question. He says, I don't understand. Why do we need to have so many different groups of Klal Yisrael? Why are there Litvishes? Why are there Sfardim? Why are there Chassidim? Why are there different types of Chassidim? Why do we need all these different... Why can't there just be one way to serve Hashem? One, of course, my way would be the right way. Like everyone thinks their way is the right way. And that'd be it. It'd be one way. Whatever I do is right, and we'll only follow my way. Why are there so many different groups? A very fair question. Chafetz Chaim answered beautifully. He said, think about any country. If you look at any country, you look at their defense. They don't only have one army. They have an army. They have a navy. They have boats, ships, people on the ground, people in the air, people all over. He says, why do you have so many different people? It's because each person is doing a different job to protect the country. One guy's on the land protecting the country. One guy's in the air protecting the country. One guy's on the cover protecting the country. Every person is doing their part in a different way to protect the country. Says the Chafetz Chaim, it's the same thing with Yidden. Every different group in Klal Yisrael is doing their part to fight the Yetzer Hara, fight the bad in the world. So some people, the way they do it is they daven for many hours a day. For some people, they're learning many hours a day. Some people, they're giving stuff. Everyone is using their own way. And it's not weird, because we look at it in the defense, you have the same thing. Every country has different types of people working in the defense. You don't say, why is it? Why do you need a navy and the army? Why do you need both? The answer is because there's different parts that we can be attacked on, so we need different people to combat it. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the same thing with Yiddishkeit. We need different people. Some people need to do it that way, some people need to do the learning, some people need to do the davening, some people need to do the dveikus b'Hashem, some people need to do the singing. Everyone, in their own way, is coming together as one unified team to fight this evil force known as the Yetzer Hara. And he says, that's why it's not a kasha, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it this way. Very, very powerful lesson going into Yimei Elul, when we're always thinking about how do we become more unified. We all want to come out. Rosh Hashanah is a very private event. Rosh Hashanah and Kippur is we're really focused about ourselves. We want to come out with a good year. You know, yeah, I'm happy if you get a good year also, but really it's about me, my family, those close to me. But if we want to ensure the best chance of us having a positive outcome is the more we care about other people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at Klal Yisrael as a whole. So if we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we care about other people and we recognize the value and the importance of other people, in my opinion, it's a very big schus and skula to ensure that we each have our own very positive Emet Hashem Shana Tov. Okay. We left off in the Gemara over here, where the Gemara by us in Gittin was talking about a case where a person puts the get in the hand of the Eved. He wants to divorce his wife, and instead of putting the get in the hand of the Isha, he puts the get in the hand of her Eved. So Zakti Gemara, Omer Rav, Kosovo get v'nosim bi'ar avdo. He puts the get into the hand of her Eved. Now again, the assumption is, an Isha's Eved functions like her Chatzar. Right, so the Gemara says, well, it depends. Yoshon, if the Eved's sleeping with Misham Rasai, and the Eved's watching, and the Eved's being watched by her, I raise a get. Then it is a good get. Near, if the Eved would be awake, ain't a get. Why? What's the problem about being awake or being asleep, says the Gemara? Because if the Eved is awake, so although the get is protected, because the Eved protects it, but it's not protected by her. He's really the one who protects it. He decides what to do with the get. He could throw it, he could do whatever he wants with it, so the actual watching of the get comes through him and not through her. What's wrong with that? Zok Rashi. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says, I raise a get. When the Eved is sleeping, so then it gets watched by her. Since he's sleeping, so the Achren Mamadayik from Rashi, that Rashi understood means it has to be solely watched by him. Not that it's him and someone else. It has to be she is the only source of protection. And if he were to be awake, although he may not be actively watching, but the fact that he's awake, that will ruin the fact that she's watching. We'll have to talk more about this as we go on.
Even if she's there, isn't she legally entitled to direct the Eved? He has to listen to what she says.
That's true, but at the end of the day, he does have his own mind. Whether or not he'll listen or not. The Moshal, some Achrayim say, what the Eved could do, is he could just chuck the get, throw it out. Although she might be kain already, mm-hmm. But the point is that this is not a controlled area by the Ish. So we'll see more about it.
In a normal chassam ishtemeres, if you hire a guard to watch it, that's also not. Are you saying that that's not?
Maybe depending on how much he's
Aliyah.
Right. Depending on how much it's coming from her. Meaning if you can have free will and you can do whatever you want, that would be a problem. Yeah, well, again, it would sound like it, yeah. So let's try to see a little bit more. So that's what the Gemara answers. Then the Gemara is a new kasha. Frank Gemara, Yashar, Misham Raso, Yareh, a get. You told me, Rava, you told me if he's sleeping, it is a good get. Why? I have a new problem. I have a new problem. Maybe it's not an issue of being a guarded chatzar, but it's a bigger issue. It's a moving chatzar. Moving chatzarim don't work. Maybe it's not moving, he's sleeping. Sleeping people don't move. So Adimar Vamar Rava, but Rava himself says, Bab Mitzia, Kosh Ilu Mahalach Leikon, Amad Yosha Leikon. Rava says, doesn't matter. Rava says, since you could move, that already ruins it. So how do you understand this? We're talking about the case where her Evid is tied up. Now, what's tied? Now, there's two ways to read this Gemara. Two things could possibly be tied. Either his hands are tied, or his feet are tied, or both. Now, in the Cheshbon of the Gemara, what did we need to be tied? We needed his feet to be tied, because we want to make sure he's not moving. Right? In the Gemara, it's clear that the issue that we had was he's moving. How do you stop someone from moving? You tie him up.
Now,
what? Could, I guess, if he's talented enough. Right? But again, he could also untie. He could also untie the knots. Well, which we'll talk about. We'll talk about the Rashash's Kasha in a second, hopefully. But it's more from the Gemara that he's tied up.
Does the Rabbi have a problem with Yashan?
So that's what we need to get to. That's what we got to figure out. Now that we answer Kafas, where does Yashan fall in? Okay.
What was the paradigm, the original example of a moving Chatzar? Like,
was either an animal or a human being that moves. The Gemara Bamitzia, we saw the Gemara had a kasher
because it's capable of being able to be coming at something for me.
Right.
As a chatzar.
Right, right. So these things are all extensions of my property. Right?
A car or a truck so, would be a
chatzar. In theory, but you'd have the issue of chatzar ma'alechas. It moves. I'll tell me, but my foot's on the brake. Well, is your foot on the brake the same thing as an Evet sleeping? Now, you'll tell me when it's parked and the keys are out, that would be the equivalent of being tied up. I think that's a fair argument. I think a parked car with no keys is the equivalent of a tied up Evet. That's probably true. But let's say a car in park with the keys in, one could argue, we'll have to talk more about this, it might be Talmud Machlokes Rishonim, is the equivalent of being sleeping, to which the Gemara seems to say sleeping does not fix moving. Sleeping would still be a problem of moving unless you tie it up as well. So when you finish this Gemara, so you have to ask yourself, okay, so what do you need to make this Eved work as a Chatzar? So Pashtus, if you read through the whole Gemara, the conclusion you would make is you need to have two components. You need to have Yashan, Eved's got to be sleeping, and you need to be Kafas. Because each one's attacking a different issue. Yashan's attacking the issue that the Eved is in somewhat control or somewhat power, and Tide is controlling the fact that the Eved is no longer moving. That would be the simple way of reading the Gemara.
If he's tied, he doesn't have that much control either. You could say that that's
going to be the big machlokes Rishonim. Now, if you look in Rashi over here in 2b, Rashi writes, what does Kafas mean? She'ein ruyi lahalich. He's not able to go. Because you could have argued Kafas doesn't mean you... Kafas means temporarily. Why is kufus any more temporarily than sleeping? So the simple answer is because sleeping, all I need to do is wake up. Kufus, I can want to go, but unless someone unties me, it's much more difficult to get out of my predicament. Okay? So Dr. Ashi, about who come and Rava to have a get? That's when Rava says it's a good get. So many Rishonim, I'm a dyke from Rashi, that Rashi held that in Rava's world, you need to have both. Rashi's saying that's when Rava says it's a good get. But Rava also said 5 lines earlier, I need to be sleeping. So Dr. Rishonim say that Rashi held you need to have both. You need to be sleeping and tied. So Dr. Rashi, by he come Rava to have a get. That's when Rava said it's a good get. Meaning you take this statement of Rava plus the previous statement of Rava that Rava said you're sleeping, you put the two together, and that's what equals a good get.
So it has to be inanimate, basically.
Right. So it has to be sleeping, the Evet sleeping while kufus.
What's the problem with kufus alone?
Because it's still not Mishtameris. The Isha still, the Evet still controls the get. Let's say you tie up his feet. So his hands are free. He could take the get, throw it, rip it. He's in total control of the get. So it's not a chatzah ma'aleches, but it's still chatzah she'ein mishtameres. According,
what if he's tied to a tree?
What? Because the shliach is not working as chatzah. A shliach might be working with a different lumber. It might be. That's part of it. But that's the Rashi's kasha. The Rashi's kasha is that the problem of mishtameres shouldn't exist by if you hold that chatzah is mitam shlichus. Now the problem is that by get it can't be mitam shlichus because it's a choif, and you can't have a shlichus against your will. But that's a kasha. That's Rishonim as that kasha. Now there are those who want to tumble with this Rashi, and they want to say maybe Rava retracted. When you read the flow of the Gemara, maybe at some point Rava changed his mind. Rava started off with sleeping, and he switched. He dropped from sleeping, and focus is now just tied. Rava retracted. Instead of
saying both.
Again, we'll see in a second. Taisvis, the Rosh clearly did not learn like that. Now. What's going to depend on is that word, v'hilchasa. That's a funny word in the Gemara. Usually when there's a retraction, it would be Ella. There'll be some form of open retraction that someone went back. Here the Gemara doesn't do that. The Gemara says Vehilchasa. So we'll see later today that the Vilna Gaon makes a big diuk from this word. But there's a tumult in Rashi. It's not such a tumult because Rishonim clearly say they're not like that. So that those Acharonim want to say, yeah, that's because the Rishonim had a different gears in the Gemara. They had a gear so where Rashi Taka was more mefurish, that Rava wasn't retracting. The way we have the Gemara with Rashi, it's not so clear that Rava was retracting. But that's the, we'll see in a second, that's what Taisa learns. Right. That's right.
But clearly, from the Gemara, Yashan alone is not good enough, according to Rava.
And the Havmi of the Gemara, at least. Unless Rava retracts.
It says Bakapo, so...
So what does that mean? Does that mean you need
either Yashan or
Kapo? We'll get there, I'll see that. We're going to get it. Let's deal with that. So now, this is all fine in the Gemara in Gittin Daf Ein Ches. There's one more Gemara that we need to see. There's a Gemara Daf Chafalf. The Gemara reads like this: Omer Rava, Kosov Agev Nosim Biyar Avdoi, the Kosov Lo Shtar Matana Olaf. A different case. In this case, instead of giving the get to her Evid, you have an Evid, which you're going to gift to her. You're going to give her the Evid. And what you do is you gift her the Evid along with the get. So that's what you do over here. It's a little different than the Gemara by us. Instead of giving the get into the hand of her already pre-existing Eved, you put the get into your Eved, and then you gift her the Eved. So now the Eved becomes hers, and therefore it's kind of through the Eved being hers.
So the Eved has to get before you gift.
Yeah,
the
so that this. So that's some of the problem. So that's some of the problems we had when we learned this Gemara a couple times before. If the Eved's like character, so that's better. We'll see.
It's like agav.
We'll see in a second. It might be better. Yeah, but you don't want to do agav. What you want to do is, no, you write a shtar that you want to sell the Eved. That's procedure number one. Now you say, fine. So now you own the Eved, and now I'm putting the get into your Eved's hand. He just kind of all did it in one shot. Yes, that's the cash we spoke about. What happens if she refuses the gift? That's a shayla. But that's the way the Gemara sets it up. Now, why is this important to us? Because read the Gemara. Frank the Gemara, v'amai chotzim alechasi. Fact, that can't work. And Eved moves. It's chatzim aleches. V'chiteima ba'oimed. Maybe the time the Eved's not moving. V'amirav v'kol shi'il malach l'kana. V'yash l'kana. V'hilchos ha'v'kafas. There's one problem with this Gemara. The Gemara never talks about sleeping. What happened to the issue of chatzim mishtemeres? It's like half a Gemara. The Gemara by Yosef Daf Ein Ches had two problems with moving Eved. Either Mahaleches is issue one, and Mishtameres, issue two. This Gemara seems to have no problem with Mishtameres. So this Gemara would somewhat be mashma, that Yitaka don't need both. Once you have kafas, everything is fine. That would be mashma from this Gemara.
But I don't think you can say the other way around. Well, kafas may be enough good, right, whether you're awake or asleep.
Right.
But asleep alone...
Agreed. That's clear. That's before Shnei Gemara. Now, this Gemara in Daf Chaf Aleph would lead one to believe that the Maskana of Hasag Gemara, all you need is kafas, you don't need Yashin. Mm-hmm. Not like what we were Medayik in Rashi. Okay, so let's see Taisvus and Daf Chaf Aleph. So Taisvus was bothered with this kasha. Taisvus and Daf Chaf Aleph, when he read this Gemara, he said to himself, something's missing in this Gemara. There's a whole stage that we have by us and Ayim Ches that's missing. So Taisvus says, relax, don't worry. The Taisvus, kafas v'yoshim b'inan. You need both. Don't make any diyukim, any rayas. You need both. How do I know, says Taisvus? Kedemashim, look, come on, b'hazayrik. From the Gemara, Daf Ayim Ches. Our Gemara and Ayim Ches is clear that you need to have both. Now, it's not so clear that you need to have both. The Gemara, you could have learned differently, but okay, that's what Taisa says. He goes through our whole Gemara, and then he says, at the end, Upirish Bekuntris, and Rashi learns, by he kamarova denir ain't a get. That's when Rashi learns that if you're awake, it's not a good get. What he means to say is that Rashi held you need both. It's before Taisa was learned in Rashi, that Rashi held you need to have both. He says, V'chein pasku alochas gedelis. That was the opinion of the Bahag. The kafos v'yoshan b'inan. You need to have both. Kafas v'yoshan. So Taisvus and Gittin and learns in Rashi, and the Rosh learns like this, you need to have both. The Gemara doesn't say both. Okay. The Gemara didn't say both. Why not? We'll see in a second why not. But that's the way the Gemara sets up. That's not a steer in the two Gemaras. Now keep this Gemara in mind, because we'll see later, could possibly be Miyashiv the Shittas and Rambam, it will be this Gemara Daf Chaf Aleph will be very important for be Miyashiv the Rambam. Now, when the Ritva Daf Chaf Aleph, right.
So, if he's sleeping, how could he give it?
No, the kasha
should... While he's sleeping?
No, the kasha should be, and then how does this whole thing work? He's awake. And if he's awake, it's a chatzah shein and mishtameres ladaiter. That should have been the first issue the Gemara attacked, just like it did by us. The Gemara left out that whole phrase. So everyone's bothered with why. So the simple way of reading it is because once the Gemara dealt with kafas, and we were satisfied with kafas, then we can move on. We don't have any problems anymore. The real kasha is that the Gemara, in each point, started in a different area. The Gemara by Asan Daf Ein Ches started off with Mishtameres. The Gemara here started off with Mahaleches. Why is that? Okay, that's something we need to discuss. So let's see the Ritva and Daf Chafal. The Ritva writes like this: Pirish, B'yasha uvi kafas. So the Ritva, the Rashba, they're all part of those Rishonim that learn you need to have both. Why? Ritva explains. Yasha and Kadeshi Mishuma Ladaitoi. It needs to be watched to ensure, it needs to be sleeping to ensure that he's not awake to control what's going on. Kafas Kadeshi Lechatzam Alechas. Right. Well, there's a line in Rashi which I didn't spend too much time on where it's controlling himself and the content of what he's holding. Meaning he's not the one controlling what happens to this paper. She's really controlling
it. Is there an assumption that she's looking at him?
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a second. Yeah, we're going to see. We'll see exactly how involved he needs to be. Right?
Or she doesn't have to because it's
so there's really a machlokes. When you talk, let's say, Stam Chatzah. So you say that, does she have to be standing in her chatzah? Does she have to stand next to her chatzah? It's machloikis m'shoinim. Does she have to be standing next to her chatzah? It's machloikis n'gemar daf ein zayin. Between Ula and someone else about how, do you have to be next to your chatzah? So the Gemara has a tag, you need to be next to your chatzah. So some Rishonim say, now you have to be next to your chatzah, you have to be standing on your chatzah. Standing on the property. Because yada, again, chatzah is mitam yad. You're always connected to your hand. We can't disconnect ourselves from our hand. So you can't distance yourself from, right, like we had by the basket, right, the same type of shayla. So that's an issue in the Gemara. But the Ritva is interesting. He writes like this. Sleeping without tied up, no good. Why? If he'd be awake, he would be going with Dumi Elohim with Yoshev. Kafas a chud loy kana. Just being tied up doesn't work. Why? Because again, if he's awake, although he's tied, his feet are tied, he's still very much in control of what's going on.
Although
he's in control. His hands. His feet are tied. We'll get to that in a second. Right now, we are assuming that his feet are tied, not necessarily his hands. Because again, what did we need to accomplish? We wanted to make sure he wasn't moving. For him not to move, his hands being tied will not stop him from being chatzim alechas. So we'll talk about what happens if he's totally tied up. We'll get to that case in a minute. Yeah, that also. We'll get to that in a second. That's the Rashash's kasha. Again, he does. He's a human being. He can do what he wants. Again, that just means he's supposed to follow directions. It doesn't mean he consciously can't do what he wants. He could. He could disobey the... He'll break the rule. But that's enough to assume. Yeah, the rule. And Achanami. But the get from Mr. Meris, it means that this get is guarded because of her. Not guarded because of her. It's guarded because of him.
The Eved has the fear of the Baal.
Sometimes.
He's not going to do it. Otherwise,
possibly.
Otherwise, he's going to get a weird lip.
That could be.
A lynch.
But, yeah. As we know in history, many of them did disobey, right? But that's the idea. The idea of Mishnah Meris, which again, we'll see in a second, it might be telling Machlokes Rishonim, is telling who's really controlling. So the Ritva writes at the end, he says, V'hilkoch, be'ilon kofetz v'yoshon, v'chein kosa ba'alochetz v'chein ikr. But then he has the kasha, what do you do with the Gemara in Gittin? The Gemara in Gittin that we started off with is mashma. Tosfos doesn't address this. But the Gemara in Gittin is mashma. That kafas is enough, right? The Ritva or the Fiza, Chafalf or the Fiza Hadar Minon the El Perik. I maybe today the Gemara that we quoted. So he answers Hasam. I skipped two lines. Hasam Mishum Dlay Akshe says Taisa says Ritva. Don't make me write from that Gemara. That Gemara was addressing a kasha and it answered that concern. The Gemara asked Chatzam Alechas. The Gemara answered Kafas. Doesn't mean that's all you need. Says the Ritva. The Gemara was just addressing what it was asked. So now the follow up question you have to ask yourself is: so why didn't the Gemara ask Mishnah Meris? If Mishnah Meris is a problem. So why didn't the Gemara ask a follow-up question and say, okay, good, you answered me, Mahalechas, now I have a new problem. Or you can ask the kasha a little differently, is that, why was that the first thing the Gemara asked? Our Gemara didn't go first with Mahalechas, our Gemara first went with a different route, our Gemara first went with Mishnah Meris. Why would the Gemara there first deal with Mahalechas? So this Ritva Teretz, I don't see how it answers all the kashas. It's better than Taisus, because Taisus didn't give us any explanation, but Ritva's answer is, other Mishnahim say this, that the Gemara in Gittin was addressing, very politically correct, addressing what was asked to it. The Gemara asked Malachas, I answered Malachas. I didn't give more information than I needed. I gave you what you asked me. Why didn't I give more information? Because I wasn't asked that question. So the question is, why weren't you asked that question? So we would have said, because it wasn't a kasha, because after we answered Kofas, it wasn't necessary.
The Hilchasa is also Shver. If you're just answering that question, answer that question. I'm talking about a case like that. The Hilchasa sounds like that's all you need. And yeah. Halacha is all you need. Is
Yeah, I agree. The Lashon HaHilchasa.
Again, like you're volunteering that information for no reason. You're adding that word.
Yeah, the Hilchasa is a strong word. That sounds like this is the way it's going to be, which we're missing. Now, we'll see in a minute or later today that there's different gears in the Gemara that takes out the word of Hilchasa, which makes things better and worse at the same time.
I just have a more fundamental question about the Eved is the Chatzar, and the issue is if he's controlling himself because he's awake, or he's only partially tied up, so then she's not controlling it, so she can't make the kinyan by having it placed on her.
That's right. Such a chatzah is not valid.
But what's the havamina that if she owns the eved, that he has any rights to be able to do it? In other words,
he doesn't have rights.
He doesn't have the right.
It's not about a question of rights. It's a question of fact. The fact is, this. We'll see in a second why it is this way. But the fact is, this thing, if you asked an outsider, who's controlling it? The answer is, the Eved's controlling it. Now you'll tell me, well, the Eved listens to me.
Compare it to an animal.
He could.
No, because she could say, don't move, and he has to listen to her.
The animal has to listen?
No, the Eved. She controls
it. Doesn't have to.
He
could.
And then he's
not an Eved. No. Avodim,
so he could disobey.
Right, he could. No one's going to say he can't. He's not Meshubit. He is Meshubit, but we all know we break rules sometimes, so the Eved won't listen and he'll do what he wants. But the truth is, we'll see in a second that there might be a clearer answer to this Shaila. So most Rishonim, Ruba de Ruba of Rishonim, assume that you need to have both. The Rosh, over here, number 5, has an interesting opinion. He says like this: what would happen if instead of the legs being tied, the hands were also tied? If it's fully tied, hands and feet. Talk to Rosh, if let's say they were both, the kosher bechevel, and it's tied with a rope, the he oichzosei, and she controls the rope. Well, let's make it a little. He's tied up with, let's say, handcuffs, and she has the key. Talk to Rosh, loy bein yoshen. Why would you need him to be sleeping anymore? Because daita mishtamel daita. Who's controlling this? He's completely powerless. He has no ability to do anything. The guy made a mahalach. He's not moving. So if kafus would to have meant everything is tied up, so then you wouldn't need yoshen either. Talk to Rosh, v'chahachi ikol okmei bahi dalel perek sheni. That's the way you kill in the Gemara in the second parak. That kafus is a different type of a kafus. Kafus could be a full kafus or a partial kafus. If it's fully kafus, you don't need yoshen. If it's partially kafus, you do need yoshen. So he says, v'chein re'isi b'shem ritzbah. I saw such an opinion from the ritzbah. Such an opinion is quoted in the Torah as well. Zokter Rosh v'linir, I disagree. The avagav v'yodah v'raglav kafuzois, v'kosha v'chevel v'yachzasa v'yodah. This guy is tied up, hands and feet, she controls all the power. Still, kiven denir v'yeshlo dasla, atzmai choshev chatzah b'shtemereshlo daitoi. Zokter Rosh, I still disagree. I hold even with all that going, you still need to be sleeping. Why? Dr. Rosh, this is the important part. Still, because he's awake, even though he's completely powerless, Dr. Rosh, that's enough to make it that he's involved.
What's the
Shalala Daita?
She's got the key.
So that's what we need to get to. So let's deal with this Rosh like this. The first cash on the Rosh is a side cash, but it's an interesting cash. The Rashash asks. The Rashash says, he doesn't understand, what's this Hakpada that she's holding on to the string? Why does she have to be holding on to the string? She tie him up, and the keys are, I don't know, someone else has it. Why is it that she's holding on to it? So the Rashash says, because you want to make sure he can't get out. Because if you have it any other way, maybe he'll be able to somehow finagle his way out. I saw a pshat, they want to tie the faket. Because if you hold that, it's chotzer, and you hold, you have to be on the chotzer. So how are you going to be on the Eved? You're going to stand on top of the Eved? So if you have the key, that's like the equivalent of being on the Eved. Okay, so that's such a pshat. But the question on the Rosh is, why does the Rosh not accept the notion of the Ritva? Seems to make a lot of sense. His hands are tied, his feet are tied, he's powerless, he can't do anything. Shouldn't that be the greatest level of Chatzah Mishtemeres L'dayte? So the truth is, it's more shver, because there's another Rosh that we mentioned last week. The Rosh, in this piece, it's a long piece, in the piece before, earlier in this piece, the Rosh asks the following question. He says he doesn't understand the Gemara Bayas. The Gemara Bayas started off with a kasha that it's a Chatzah Mishtemeres L'dayte. What did the Gemara answer? The Eved's sleeping, and the Gemara was very happy with that. Then the Gemara walks in with a new kasha, but it's moving. The Gemara says, he's sleeping? No, that doesn't work. Frank Rosh, what's the difference? If sleeping is considered not moving, or at rest, why does it change for the halachas of Mishtameris versus the halachas of Mahalachas? Why should there be different rules? The Morashach, figure out what the status of a sleeping human being is and be consistent. Why is it Mavur in the Gemara that when it comes to the rules of Mishtameris, sleeping, no, that's fine. That's considered that, what do you mean? He can wake up in a second, and then he returns to being in control. Okay, he's sleeping. So why don't you say the same thing with moving? That's the Rosh's kash.
Well, because people move in their sleep. There is such a thing as people
sleepwalk. No, but the point is the control element. I mean, Kol's mind, he's sleeping. Right? We know who's really control.
Malachas is not control. Malachas is another issue. Separate issue.
So that's what.
Control issue.
So this is also something to keep in mind when we'll see Mr. Shem in the Rambam Shita, how the Rambam understood Malachas. But the way the Rosh answers it, he says, you're right. They're two different sugyas. The problem with the chatzim halachas is exeris hakasim. It's a din in the Torah. The Torah says moving chatzim are not chatzim. And I hold sleep because it's considered moving. Zok Rosh, what's mishtameris? Mishtameris is not a lomdish sugya, says the Rosh. It's practical. I don't want my object being in an area that's controlled by someone else other than me. It's a psyche. It's a svara, says the Rosh. I don't want my chatzim or my objects being nikneh in an area that's controlled by anyone else except for me. So when I look at this situation of a sleeping fellow, I say, ah, sleeping? I'm in control. I know he can wake up in a minute and then he'll be the boss? Okay. But in my psychological analysis, I view it that I'm the Baal boss, I'm controlling it, and I'm okay with that. That's the Rosh Hashita.
And along those lines, while there's a potential that they might wake up, so it's potential that the chutzah will move.
That's right.
Will convert from a
correct.
Non-moving.
Correct.
But the kinyan only takes a second.
That's true.
At the moment of the kinyan.
100%. But the question is when we look at the status of this area, and we say this area is deemed a chutzah. Does it fit the rules that you need to be a chutzah?
Right.
So the rules
done.
Are, they're different rules.
Right now,
in order
right now,
to, you can't be moving, that's rule number one, it can't be moving.
So it's sleeping is not moving.
So sleeping, Zakti Gemara, no, sleeping Gemara right. does not call not moving. Why?
Because you might wake up.
Okay, we'll say it that way. But we'll talk more about it, I hope. Yeah.
Well, that's he might, he might.
He has a potential to move.
Okay. So in London.
He has a potential to escape his handcuffs.
No, so that we spoke about a couple times. That you're going to have to say is a much harder, it's not the other. I can wake up. A person can wake up from his own sleep. We choose not to wake up. That's why we sleep late at times, because we choose not to wake up, but we could. But if the rush is correct, this should be a steer in rush now. Because if you think about it, if the rush understood that Mishnah Meres is a svar, what's the svar? The svar is that I don't want my area being, I don't want my things being nicknamed in the area that I'm not the sole controller over. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. If I was watching a case where my evidence is tied, hands and feet, and I'm holding the keys, you're going to call that an Eina Mishnah Meres? Bishlama if the chasan of Eina Mishnah Meres would be some form of Xeris HaKosov. So you'll tell me, no, Xeris HaKosov says that Mishnah Meres means that he has to be knocked out sleeping. Okay, I'll take it. But the Rush learned that's not the Lumbus. The Rush learned the Lumbus of Mishnah Meres is what? It's a Svara. I don't want to leave my objects in an area that's not protected by me. You're going to tell me that this is not called protected by me? I'm standing here over an awake Eved who's tied from head to toe and I hold the keys. You can't get more protected than that. So the Rosh Lushitasai from two lines earlier is very difficult to understand. Besides the Stam Alumnus, it's Shver, why is it not Mr. Meres? But the Rosh Lushitasai, it's even more Shver, because the Rosh understood Mr. Meres, the Daiti is a Svara, this Svara doesn't fit. And this is a Chayre, very stark Akash on the Rosh. So in order to be Miyash of this, you're going to have to say, not that I understand it, that the Rosh learned somehow like Rashi, that the definition of Mr. Meres, the Daiti is involvement. You can't have two people involved. You got to be the only one involved. Even though this fellow is tied up, but because he's awake, that somehow steps on your toes of being involved. Which again, I don't really understand. We'll see if Salvechik says like this also. He understood like this also in the Rush, but I don't really understand why it should be that way. If you look over here, number six, I brought from a sefer called the Aris Vitzionim. He wants to be Miyash of the Rush based on a Ramban. He wants to suggest the first pshat is like this. He says maybe the pshat over here is the reason why tied up doesn't work is because she can always call someone to untie him. Right, you leave me in a dungeon somewhere locked up, but I can call someone.
That's like watching my own chutzah. I could always walk away and abandon it and not watch.
So let's see what he says over here. He said like this. He said like this. V'ein nira the kavana said rosh the chasarnu mishum shegam bekisha yochaloy malachem dinira. He said, don't tell me that the reason why the rush rejected the ritzvah's pshat about being tied up because that you can always get out of a tie. First of all, the lashon of the rush is clearly not like that. It's not the lashon of the rush. But in any case, he said that doesn't work. Why? He thinks because the rush sounds like even if you're tied up in a dungeon, no one will find you, no one will get you, still the rush wouldn't say it's no good. It sounds like from the lashon of the rush is the fact that you're awake and you're aware of what's going on. Although you're not in control, but you're aware. That's an important nekuda.
You know what? Does it ever have... So, this is a situation where she owns the evidence.
Yeah,
right?
It's really hers.
So the husband comes over and he puts it in his back pants.
Right.
And the evidence awake.
Right.
Does the evidence have the ability in his head, in his mind, to reject accepting it?
Now, maybe not reject it, but
he knows that his master
wants that.
Doesn't want. No.
He knows that she doesn't want
to be divorced.
Again.
So in his mind, he says, I know I can't stop you because I'm tied up. So I can't prevent you from giving me this.
Right.
But I'm not accepting it. I know what you're doing, but I'm
so
not,
the way we
I'm
have,
not in my head.
So
that might explain why you have to be asleep also, because you could still have control if you're awake.
Let's look at the Eved as a piece of property. Right. You don't ask the piece of property, do you want to be kained from you or not?
Then none of it makes sense.
No das, because...
In fact, he can move.
So that's the question.
No das, but the Eved,
that's exactly the issue. The issue is you need to put it in an area where it's controlled solely by the owner of the chatzah. Over here, you don't have that, because since the Eved is awake, even though he's physically not controlling it. That's the words of the Rosh, which I'm... somehow his das is here, right. Even though he physically can't do anything.
His das has no power.
His das is in the controlling of the chatzar, not in the halach or the chalois of the kinyan. You're 100% right. We don't need his das at all. We need his status in relationship to him, to this, to his body, is going to define whether or not this chatzar fits the criteria of chatzar.
He could still contribute to... Let's say somebody comes to try to take it. He could scream out.
So if I can't, write and say, he could throw the get. What are you talking about? You tell me this get... No, that's his kofas biyado. You know, they talk about he could put it in his mouth, he could bite it, he could chew it. The point is, if you look at the area where the get was dropped, meaning his body, do you say that this get is guarded by who? Who's guarding this get? Is it guarded by the Baal, by the Isha, or it's guarded by the Ev? But he says, Ipshat over from a Ramban.
You can never have
if he's kofas. I mean, according to the Rush, according to Rush, he needs to be sleeping. He got to be sleeping. When you're sleeping, you're totally not involved. Because if you're going to be awake, then even though you're physically not involved, you're still too involved. That's the words of the Rush, which is Shred understand. That why are you involved if you're not really involved? The fact that you're awake and you're thinking in your head, if I could break out, I would take the get and throw it down the river. So, but you can't. Somehow the words of the Rush are mashma, that the fact that your das is there. So he wants to say a pshat based on a Ramban. What does the Ramban write? He said this. The svarazu muvo eris gam be Ramban. Quotes an interesting Ramban. The Ramban writes, the Be'in and Yoshan, Ava Pishu Kafus, Mavor Ramban, Atam Dolisagi Bekafus, Zel Shane, Denir Afilu Kafus, Bishtameris Ladaitihu. If the Ever would be awake, even if he's tied up, it's no good. To Otu Isha Kfusa, Miloi Migarsha, Bein Biyoda, Bein Bechatseri, Shane, Mishtameris, Amishum Shay Medis, Bethat Chatseri. The Ramban says, what happens if the Isha standing next to her Chatser? No Evid. She's standing next to her Chatser, but she's tied up. Would you say she's controlling her own Chatser? Forget the Evid case. Let's say you hold that an Isha needs to be standing next to her chatzar and she's guarding it. So she's standing next to her chatzar. But she's tied up. She can't do anything. Anyone can come on the land. Anyone can walk on the land. She has no control over the land. But she's standing there. So Dr. Ramban, that would be okay. Now, how can that be okay? If the whole idea is protecting and guarding, there's no protecting and guarding when she's tied up. So he wants to say, you see from this Ramban, the chidush b'zeh Ramban din mechudush. That the Gemara said that if you stand next to the chatzar, it automatically makes a mishtameris. That's why. He says, how else do you understand the Ramban? How does you standing there work? He says, because your mind is on it. Even though physically you're useless and powerless, but your mind is on it. I don't really know what these words mean. Your mind is on it.
So what is it, in general, according to this, what does it mean by mishtamer? Is it a mind thing or is it a physical thing? And therefore, who says it's got to be here? Maybe, let's say I got a video and I'm 7 blocks
right,
away.
So we would have learned before we saw all this, mishtamer is physical control. Who's controlling it physically? Yeah, according right. to this Rush, it's not. According to the Rush, it's not enough to say physical. It's also whose mind is on it. I mean, these are the words he uses.
According to him, if you have a video camera watching the field from
possibly,
7 blocks away,
if that's considered enough to say your das is on it. Again, I just brought this down just to tumble with it. I don't really understand what all this means. Your das is on it. You know, I could be thinking about a lot of things, but if I can't do anything about it,
asserting ownership over it.
I guess that's what you'll have to see some lumbas like that. The fact that I can still be aware of what's going on, although I'm powerless, that's still considered that I'm connected to it. That's, I think, somewhat of a chiddush. But that's what comes out from the Rush.
Does the das have to be exclusion to everyone else?
That's the shayla. That's machlokes Rashanim. The Rush, Rashi holds yes. It has to be you and no one else can be involved. So we'll see in a second. If Salvichik Taka, I think, alludes to
that. And someone else can be involved?
Yeah, that's the way you have to learn. The only problem with that is that it's a stickle steven Rush. I mean, the best way to learn this Rush is that the Rush learned like Rashi. That it has to be exclusive. You have to be the exclusive das on this chatzar. If anyone else's brain is on this chatzar, it's out. But that's a steer to the way the Rush learned the piece earlier.
But so what if your das is you're giving people permission to come into your chatzar?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that would be a
if I have a chatzar and sure. I want to be konis something by having somebody put it on my chatzar, and I'm allowing 50 people.
So that might be an expression of my mishtameris. That might be the way I show that I'm in control.
Right.
Possibly. Yeah. I think that's what Salvation means in number 7 over here. I think. Yeah.
You're talking about das. Sounds so strange, but isn't that the same thing by Yish? The whole thing of Yish is Das Bailam.
Yish means...
Das Bailam connects you to that thing, and as soon as you make Yish, the Das...
Correct.
...disconnects it. So you see that...
But again, but that's because over there it was another type of purpose of the Das. Over here, when we read the Gemara Mishtameris, the word guarded sounds like a physical relation. I guarded.
Once you're saying now it's Das, and everyone's like, oh, it's crazy, but...
truth is...
There is definitely a connection between your das, right. I'm not denying that your das plays a major role in halacha. My question just is, it just sounds like from when you read the Gemara that the Mishtameris element over here is more of a physical. To say that my das is controlling a physical is a little bit of a stretch.
No, that's a good point. By an Aveda,
yeah.
Right? Even though it's out of your physical reshus, but as long as you don't have, as long as you have das,
correct,
it's still in your possession.
Right, that's because Bailus is not totally in...
Right, so it's sitting by... So Chatzim Mishtameris, even though... It's out of my control, so let's say the woman's tied up.
Right.
It's still out of my control.
Right, that, right, that's Rabban's case. Right. But how do you call that your Mishtameris? How are you saying you're guarding it? How are you guarding? Because by Aveda, it's not about guarding. By Aveda, it's about actual bailus. So the shame bailus is retained even though it's not under your hand. Here, it's a different akuda. Here, it's not about ownership. Here, there's a din that an owner has to be in control, just like your hand. How are you in control? Meaning, if someone would, you know, control your arm, you wouldn't be in control of your arm either. So that's why I'm not really sure what this means, that I'm in control because my mind is on it. That doesn't make me in control. It means I want to be in control. I think about control, but it doesn't make me in control. But I think Rav Soloveitchik says this alumnus in the Rush. He writes over in number 7. Granted, there's two pieces. In Shu'e Rabbi, there's two pieces. One on Daf Chaf Aleph, where he discusses the Gemara. Then there's another piece later on, Ayin Ches. So last week's share, we didn't get to it. I photocopied the piece from Daf Ayin Ches. Then I got to the piece on Daf Chaf Aleph. I thought on Chaf Aleph it was a little clearer to understand. So this piece over here, number 7, if you're going to look it up, it's not on Daf Ayin Ches, it's on Daf Chaf Aleph. Okay, so he writes like this. V'nir Levar, the Kaf was below Yosh and Mahani. M'shum sha'chotzer tzorech liyos mishtam b'ledaz ba'alov, dahinu ba'ad ba'alov bilvat. Solely by the owner. V'hanir hu ben dash et fisasa hila atzmai. An awake person is already considered somewhat involved. L'cheinu mufkal pi din mehe yoyis mishtam l'das ha-bailam. Or automatically he takes away from the fact that the bailam are solely. Again, he doesn't allude to this. I think that Rashi sounds like that also. Ubi yoshun l'chud, just being asleep, loisagi, av she'en bein das, debar hi l'chu. Because l'maisi, he's a mover. He's a mover. The fact that he's sleeping doesn't take away from the fact that he's still considered a bar halach, given the kashiyir yuchal halach. So this is two lines from Salvech. It sounds like, I think, what we're saying. That the lumdus over here is that it's not so much protection, not protection. It's about who's involved. You know, too many heads over here are no good. So if someone else is involved in the controlling, that's already migareya for my mishtameris.
This all comes out of, again, like there's a kasid.
The Rush said it was a svara.
Why should the Torah want that?
So the way the Gemara reads in Gittin and Ein Zayin, the Gemara reads this a drush. Ma yoda mishtameris l'daita. Just like your hand, you're
but
always...
I could be mishtamer my own yad because automatically I am. And somebody could be watching it too. I could be having a bodyguard.
But yeah.
The fact that somebody else is watching my hand and protecting
but that's the drush the Gemara makes. The Gemara makes a drush that ma yoda mishtameris l'daita. You're generally the one controlling your own hand.
Generally, but somebody else... Okay. Also, the fact that I am... Yes. Why, the fact that
so this is a din by ochatz.
Why is that
I guess the Gemara feels that most of the times, I guess that's the way the Gemara understands. Again, the Rush is going to tell you it's not a drush. The Rush says it's a svar. Completely svar. Okay, so let's deal with the Rambam Shita for a little bit. The Rambam has an interesting sheet over here in Perik Hey Hilchas Gerushin. So, Dr. Rambam, Nosan Haget Bi Arabdo, you put the get in the hand of her Hevet, Vahu Nir, and the Evid's awake. So, again, so let's just Chazer. If the Evid's awake, we have two problems. It's Chatzim Alaches, and it's not Mishtameris. Dr. Ram Vihimisham Rasa. So im hayakafus, if the ever were to be tied up, how is it get? Then it would be a good get. But we don't know. We'll get to that in a second. Ukiilu higia lechatseiro she medes betzider, and it would be as if you put the get into a chatzah that she's standing next to. Then ein hayakafus. Let's say the ever is not tied up. If it's not tied up, then ein hayget. Then it's not a good get.
So Rambam only cares about
tied up. That's what it sounds like. Nosan biyad eved. Okay, so let's stop here for a second. The Rambam says that if the eved is tied up, even though he's awake, it's a good get. That can't be.
That's gim chafalov.
So chayyur. That's why I mentioned that chayyur. The Rambam will tell you. What are you asking me? Big kashas. It's gim chafalov. The Gemara says chafalov. Kafas alone works. That would be the simple way of reading the Rambam. The other way to read the Rambam might have been like the Ritzvah. The Rambam might have learned kafas didn't just mean feet. Kafas meant feet and hands. Yeah. And if the Rambam learned kafas means feet and hands, then his mamas like the Ritzvah. It's not a grace of kasha.
I think he would have spelled that out.
Yeah, okay, you could debate that. That if the Rambam meant kafas both, he should have wrote kafas. Because when we read the Gemara, our first thought is kafas means feet. Maram Shif points this out. That when you read kafas, it means just the feet. And that's why the Machlokes Mishnayim even comes to play. But again, you could debate how to read the Rambam. What's interesting is, before this whole discussion, if you look in some Rishonim, we had very few Rishonim, and I found two Rishonim that had a whole different gears than the Rambam. Lamosha, if you look in number 9, the Torah had a different gears in the Rambam. His gears in the Rambam was V'chen yirid as the Rambam shekos av nasan aget b'yer avdoi v'hu nir v'hi misham rasei afilu hoya kafos ein aget. The Rambam was a totally different read. The Rambam is saying if the Eved's awake, even if he's tied, still no good. Which would be like Rashi and Taisu that we mentioned earlier. And not only did the Torah have this gears in the Rambam, the Meiri also had this gears in the Rambam. The Meiri writes V'gedoyli ha-mechabrim kosvu Shabinir, if he's awake, afilu hayakafos, even if the get were to be awake, if he's ever to be awake, ain't I get.
What do you mean afilu? Because it doesn't get off the ground, it's not
tied.
Right?
Right. Well, again, it depends where your starting point is going to be. If the starting point is going to be sleeping or tied, what's the more important of the equation in the sugya? So let's assume the Rambam is the way we have it, so we can say Torah in the Rambam, because if we go this way, There's no fun there involved, right? So let's try to understand the Rambam the way we have the Rambam. The Rambam holds, Kafus alone works without Yashin. So the kash is, how do we dig Gemara Daf Ayin Ches? So if you look in the Rashba and Daf Chaf Aleph, the Rashba says, Fakert. The Rambam read the Gemara very simply. The Rambam read the Gemara like this. The Rambam read the Gemara that the Gemara is retracting. The Gemara is saying, you thought it's sleeping awake? No, Shaykh, it's Kafus. Kafus, Kafus, that's all we care about is Kafus. Doesn't matter. Sleeping awake, irrelevant. All we care about is kafus. So the Rashba has a kash. He says, if so, so why did the Gemara talk about awake or sleep? If awake or sleep is irrelevant, so why did the Gemara even talk about awake or sleep earlier? Again, that's the Rashba's kash on this pshat. But the Rashba suggested the way the Rambam would have read the Gemara, the Rambam would have read the Gemara, the hilchos of a kafus means the Gemara is retracting its original thought. The Gra over here has a Gevaldik Pshat. If you look over here, this is number 12, he writes like this. Daik halosh and sh'amu v'hilchusa. The Rambam got his shita from the Gemara Daf Ein Ches, not the Gemara Daf Chafal. Where did the Rambam see Daf Ein Ches? So the Goin, because the Gemara said v'hilchusa. So what? The Havli Loimar b'kafus. The Gemara shouldn't have said v'hilchusa. The Gemara should have said v'yashalakana b'kafus. Hacha b'mayaskina b'kafus. Didn't say that. Oy, Ella b'kafus. The Gemara should have said Ella b'kafus. May v'hilchusa. What's this word of v'hilchusa, Zog Tegoyin? D'loy shayich el b'machloikis. You only use that word when there's conflicting opinions. V'hilchusa means the Gemara is taking a stand, this is the way we do it. We were there machloikis in the Gemara. Zog Tegoyin, there was machloikis between Rava and the Gemara. Rava walked in and said, sleeping, that's the requirement that you need. Zog Tegoyin, no, you're wrong. Not that Rava retracted. The Gemara is arguing on Rava. The Gemara is giving its own opinion, not like Rava. The Hilchasa, that Rav is incorrect. That you don't need sleeping, and all you need is kafus. So the way the Goyin learns it, I think, different than the Rashba would have learned it, is that we would have learned that Rava retracted. Rava took back Yashan, and now adapted to kafus. So the Goyin, it's not Rava changing, Rava is the same Rava. The Gemara is changing. The Gemara is saying that till now we were following Rava's opinion. The Hilchasa, we don't pass like Rava. That's the way the Goyin learned the Gemara. There's only one...
Right?
Not the way, not when we chafalf. With Rabban Chafalf.
Rabban gave Allah, and they asked the Kaja on Rabban from another statement.
Rabban. Right. So then the Hilchus, according to the Goyim, is that the Gemara is saying, yeah, Rabban's Rabban. Right. And therefore we don't pass him like Rabban. The Hilchus of the Kavas means we hold not like Rabban. The other way we will learn the Gemara is that Rabban himself retracted.
That's a
nafkamina. It's not, if you want to ask a Kaja on Rabban somewhere else, maybe. That's all a nafkamina. However, I found on in the newer Gemaras, in number 13, they have a different gears in the Gemara. On the side, they have the gears, Shani Ha, he writes, I'm sorry, number Hey, Svar Machayim Ella, Ella Bekafus. You take out the word Vehilchus and you put in the word Ella. Now that changes everything. It falls off the whole Grosh Tikkul Torah. Secondly, it leads you to believe that maybe even Rav himself retracted, like we spoke about earlier, in Rashi Shita. We want to know what Rashi held. But if Rashi had the gear to Ella, so it's very possible when Rashi says, by he come a Rava to have a get, it's no longer Rava with Yashan. This was a retraction in Rava. And now Rava is a new opinion, and Rava says you don't need Ella b'kafas, means I don't need Yashan, and I only need kafas.
That would be, Ella would be a statement of Rava.
Ella says the statement correct. Of the Gemara. That's the way. Right. So the difference is, if you take out the word Velchasa, and you just leave it with Ella, then the Vilna Goyin Shtukul Torah somewhat falls away. Right. Not a kasha.
So put it in kafas.
So according to the Rambam, in the gears that we have, a kafus alone would be good enough.
But what is about the problem that you have more than one das?
So what about the lumdus? So we just proved how to make it work into the words of the Gemara. What about the lumdus? So either you'll say one of two things. Either you'll say he holds like the Ritzba, which I think means the kafus is everything, so then it's a lot easier. But if you look over here, I put it down on the page 12b of Salvechik has a pshat, where he wants to be mazbe the Rambam and lumdus. We'll read it together. I don't clearly understand what he means, but we'll read it anyways. He writes this. Number 12b, on the left side, Salvechik says, what's the pshat in lumdus in the Rambam? The nirishai Rambam sovish kofos l'chud mahani, avshuhu ben das. What about the time we keep on talking about that there's another awake party? Because he understood that the lumdus of mishtameris, who inyan shall hechet timtza. I'm not really sure how to translate these words. That it's just a way of ensuring that a bendas ain't a mishamer es achefetz la'achirim. I'm with you. The loyka toisvus the savri. I saw someone tell me pshat. The loyka toisvus the savri shalachi she bendas mufka milyois mishtamer la'achirim. I'm not sure. I'm not going to say I understand what Salvechik meant. It could be where Salvechik is getting involved with what we talked about 10 minutes ago. How do you understand Mishtameris? Is the lomnus of Mishtameris, is it protected or is it not protected? Not about who's protecting it, but is it be'etzem protected? Again, I need to have a better understanding what Salvechik meant and to be mazbe the Ram.
Anyway, the das alone is irrelevant. It's what do you have the ability to
do? That's right, I think that's what he means in those words.
Yeah,
that's
no das, she has no ability.
Right. I think that's.
I
think that's what he means. I think. Right.
Nullifies his das.
Could be.
He might in his mind want
right.
lots of things, but his power is
right.
Right.
Watching the store, so it's
right. That's what I would have. Again, it could be he means that. I don't want to put words into his words. Could be that's what he means. But what we need to talk about, Blinad, the next week is that the end of the Rambam is much more troubling. This is the easy part of the Rambam. We'll see at the end of the Rambam, there's a more troubling line in the Rambam that needs much more time to deal with.